I know why y'all are here this morning. It's Easter. Joyce talked about, you know, that all of the things that people do to get ready, but I kind of felt like some of you all probably do really have in mind all the time that you're going to come to church on Sunday morning. It isn't a last minute thought. But let me give you a couple of my last minute thoughts that I need to make a couple of corrections on. And one is that here 2 or 3 weeks ago, I said, you know, I've been now for several weeks trying to get the message across as to how much Jesus suffered as he hung up on the cross and as he went through the trial and everything. And I said, and I'm not real sure that you've got it yet. And I didn't mean by that you weren't capable of understanding. And what I meant was, it's my inability to be able to get the message across to you as I would like to be able to get across for you to see how realistically that time was in his life. The second one is, I believe it was last Sunday, I meant to go back and watch again to see if this wasn't the time that I said it, but at least I mentioned it either last Sunday or Friday night, that my text this morning would be the shortest one that I've had, and it's two words. Well, if you go back to March the 31st, I also had one that was just two words. And so this one would still be the shortest, but I could go down to one, I guess. I was thinking as I was thinking about that, of some of the texts you might use just for one word. And one of them would be amen. You Baptists aren't acquainted with that one anymore. I know we used to be. We used to know what amen and used to hear it every once in a while. And I think some of our people really did catch on that what when you say amen, you're doing to a preacher. You're just like hollering, sick him to a dog. So you quit saying it because you didn't want that. Now, nobody watches the clock any closer than I do. And so I'm watching the clock. I know about how many minutes I've got left here. So I'll have you out of here so that they can do all those plans they've got planned to do, Joyce, whatever they may be, and I'm only kidding about that. But my text this morning is a very simple one. Touch me. Touch me. There are so many misconceptions about what happened after the Lord was crucified. We get this idea, and I preached here Friday night on the entombment of that body. And I was very careful as I talked about it to emphasize the fact that it was a dead body that was put in that sepulcher or in that tomb or in that grave. I was thinking Joyce was talking about the sepulcher and the tomb. Those kids don't know what a tomb or a sepulcher probably are. I certainly wouldn't have at that age. I didn't know probably I was 10 years old what they'd be talking about. I mean, talk about a grave. I know what we're talking about, you know. So anyway, we get this idea, you know, that he was taken and he was placed there in the sepulcher, in the tomb, in the grave, whatever you want to call it. And he was. The body was actually taken down from off the cross, placed here in the sepulcher. It was sealed up. They set a watch on it. So we know that. Now, you all have probably read and heard the scriptures about how early in the morning on the day that the ladies went there to prepare the body of the Lord, they got there and they found that the door or the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty and on and on. Well, let me tell you something. The reason that there wasn't a body there was that body had moved from that tomb back out into the world. Now, don't try to convince me that all it was a spirit, because I won't buy it. We've got too many people today who seem to say, well, all it was now is a spirit out here floating around like we're going to be. Let me tell you something. I'm going to have a body. I've got a body now, and I'm going to have a body from now on and forever and ever. It's going to be a different body. It's going to be a glorified body. It's going to be a perfect body. But I'm going to have a body. I'm going to be physical. You're going to be able to see me. You're going to be able to touch me. Get this idea out of your head that when you die, that's what that's all going to be. Let me tell you something. The Bible very clearly teaches that for those that are in the grave, that one of these days those bodies are going to come forth. The bodies, physical bodies, we're going to have a body. Don't go through the rest of your life thinking, oh, we're just going to be a spirit floating around up there in the air. We're going to be singing and we're going to be praising the Lord. We're going to work while we get up to heaven, wherever heaven is. There's going to be work to be done. It's not going to be by the sweat of your brow under the curse of sin like it was before. But don't think for a minute you're going to get to be lazy when you get to heaven, because you're not going to be. And if you're lazy down here, you're going to be disappointed in heaven because you're going to have more to do. But I want to talk this morning a little bit about that body. The Lord, after that He came out of the grave, He didn't leave that physical body there. It wasn't there. It came out of that tomb. There was a physical body that came out. It had some proprieties that it had not possessed before, because after He came out, He was able to just walk through a wall. He was able to do some things. When I get that glorified body, when I get that new body, I will guarantee you I'll be able to do some things I've never done before. Somebody will say, well, what is it going to look like? I don't know what we're going to look like, excepting this. I will be known as I am known. You'll know me. You'll know who Kent Parson was. You're going to know me when I was a little guy, or you're going to know me when I was an old man. I don't know, but you're going to know me. There are a lot of things in the Word of God I don't understand. I believe them, but I don't understand them all. Let me tell you something. When that body came out of the grave and wasn't there, whenever those disciples went there and those women went there to find that body and it wasn't there, they were shocked. They were amazed. They didn't know what had happened. They didn't know any more than if we were to walk out here to the cemetery today and the person that was last put in the grave out there, we opened up the grave and there was no body there. Somebody said, well, what happened to it? Well, the same thing that people said in that day. Well, somebody came along and got him out of there. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. His disciples didn't come and get him because they didn't know. They didn't even want him. They'd already forsaken him. They had left him. They'd gone on their way. They'd gone off to have prayer meeting. It hadn't been a Baptist to do that, you know. They wasn't anything could stop their prayer meetings. They had to have a prayer meeting. But while they was having a prayer meeting, when one of the apostles came and told them what had happened, they said, well, I don't believe it. I don't believe you. And I know now that if they had been a good Baptist, they'd have got to pouting and they'd run off mad and wouldn't have stayed and said, well, you know what, they didn't believe me. They didn't do that. But now listen, that body was not there in the grave. Jesus had already appeared unto some of those people. He had presented Himself to them. They didn't recognize Him. You know why they didn't recognize Him? Because again, there had been a change there in that body. But it still was a body. He still had a physical body, people. Don't ever get, you couldn't convince me in 100 years that He didn't have a physical body. Granted, you know, they didn't recognize Him, but they weren't expecting to see Him. I wouldn't have recognized some of you this morning if I had not known that you were going to be here. I sat up there this morning and I was watching as the preacher was preaching this morning. Lord, I hope I don't have to look out and see him looking that bad this morning, that sad, you know. And I don't. But my goodness, people, once in a while, don't hurt to smile. Even in church. But these people weren't expecting the Lord. And some of them thought He was somebody else. But when they finally recognized that this was the Lord, they wanted, some of them did, to have something to do with Him. But they went and appeared to the apostles. I've got to get to my text. I've got about 3 minutes left. So I'm not going to spend much time with it, am I? All right. First of all, let me give you some scripture to read when you go home. Do not do it now. I want you to listen to me for a minute. Some of you are going to grab up your Bible and say, oh, he wants to be impressed. He wants to see me. He got my Bible and I'm going to read. No, right now I want you to just sit and listen. I want you to go home and read it, though. And you need to go over into the very last chapter in the book of Luke, the 24th chapter, and read starting with the 36th verse down to the 45th. That's the last chapter in the book of Luke. Read the whole chapter. I won't hurt you. For those of you who've got the same Bible as I do, that's on the left-hand page and the right-hand column and halfway down. And nobody who has a scope will won't know where to look. But I want you to read that. This is when the Lord presented Himself to the 10 disciples. 10. You know why there were only 10? One of them had already gone out and hanged himself. Judas. One of them wasn't there. Don't know where he was. But he wasn't there. And the Lord presented Himself to them and convinced them that He truly was the Lord. He did that more than one occasion. He went one time and sent them out. Peter said, you know what, I think I'll just go back to my old way of life. I'm disillusioned, I'm disappointed, I'm disgusted with what all is happening, I don't know about this guy, so I'm going to go back and go to fishing again. Wasn't anything wrong with fishing. What was wrong was he was going back to his old way of life. Sometimes we get the idea, oh, I'm going to go back. Can't do it, folks. Can't do it. Anyway, they go out and they go to fishing, and the Lord comes along here, and he sees them out there, and he talks to them. They didn't recognize him. And so they brought in the fish in there, and he had already prepared everything for them. But before he did that, he had gone in with these 10 before and sat down, and he had eaten with them. He wanted them to see he had a body, and that body was still able to consume food. He sat down there, and he ate with them. Thomas wasn't present when that took place. So whenever Thomas showed up for the other 10 disciples, they said, "We've seen the Lord." Now let me tell you something. When you begin to talk about the Lord to people today, and when you begin to tell the Lord how you're blessed, and you tell him about how he came and he died and that he was buried, that he rose again, there are going to be some people who aren't going to believe you. They aren't going to believe the events, but they aren't even going to believe you. Now, that's where it hurts. That hurts our ego. We can't hardly stand when people don't believe us. Most people are very kind today, and they don't say, "I don't believe a word you're saying." They just let it pass right on through and stand there and smile at you all the time and say, "Yes, yes, yes." I do that once in a while with people. Someone once said to me, "So you're in agreement with me?" I said, "Oh no, I didn't mean I was agreeing with you. I'm just listening to you," nodding my head. And you just keep going. Listen, I want you to know this morning that the Lord is real and he's alive. Thomas, whenever he came and he heard him say, he says, "I don't believe it. I'm not going to believe it unless I can place my hand in the nail prints in his hands and thrust my hand into his side where that spirit went in." I want you to know that left an impression on these guys. Jesus said to the disciples when he came there, he said, "Behold my hands. Look at them. Feel them. Touch them. You'll see those scars there." There wasn't even scars at that point. They still had to be sores. I guess they could have been scarred because he could do whatever he wanted to do with his body. "Look, there they are. That's proof." Old Thomas said, "You know what? I'm not going to believe what you guys tell me, but what I would believe if I was to be able to just touch him myself. Touch him. I want to touch him." And so when Jesus was gathered with him and Thomas came in, the Lord spoke directly to Thomas. He said, "Thomas," he said, "reach hither your hand. Put it, feel me. Touch me. Touch me. Put your hand here into my side where the spear was thrust in." Now I'm going to tell you, I'm going to close. Get ready. I'm going to tell you my personal opinion. And you can take this home with you and think whatever you want to about it. My personal opinion is Thomas never touched him. I don't believe Thomas ever went ahead. I believe Thomas believed him. I believe Thomas knew. When he gave him the opportunity and he saw the hands and he could recognize that spear place in his side, that was sufficient for him. He didn't have to touch him. But Jesus said, "Touch me. Touch me." I believe with everything there is about me this morning that he offers to us the opportunity to touch him, to prove him, to know that he's alive. When that glorified body of his was ready to leave this earth and he went back into heaven, the apostles were out there and they watched him. And as they went to say, "Why stand you here gazing? This same Jesus, as you've seen him go, will come again in like manner." Went away in power and glory. When he comes again, he's going to come in a body, folks, that every eye is going to see him and everyone's going to behold him. And we, one of these days, as Paul said, will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Yeah, this old corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. this old terrible but sinful body of ours is going to be made a perfect body, and it'll be perfect forever and forever.